the duck blind to the patter of a cocktail party. He made his way down the creaking staircase to the kitchen, where lately he'd been spending more and more time talking with the housekeeper, Florence Ragosia, a kind-hearted young woman who'd worked for him for 8 years and who insisted on calling him Admiral. He'd actually been promoted to the rank of Rear Admiral, his official naval title upon his retirement, what's called a tombstone promotion. Such promotions, though, are a bit like being named captain of the football team and then sitting out the game. McVeigh himself usually insisted on captain. It seemed more honest to him. After exchanging pleasantries with Florence, he took his black lab, Chance, for a walk in the woods behind the house. Afterward, he met Al Dudley, his gardener and handyman, and they began work on the shrubs in the front yard, binding them mummy-tight with twine and burlap for the long voyage into winter. From the yard of Winvian Farm, you can look out at the country road leading north into Litchfield and south toward the main arteries leading to the sea. There's a stone fence, a bank of apple trees, and beyond that some woods and fields galloping into the distance. Many of the houses in Litchfield were built by 19th century sea captains, and many of them still sport widow's walks. It's a hilly landscape, and the village is sunk in a wooded valley, off a main thoroughfare, as if the wives of these captains had wanted to drag them as far inland as possible, away from the sea, out of danger's way. It's a place people usually come to in peace and prosperity at the end of life. It's a place to come to and forget things. The captain had lived here for nearly 7 years. A barn and machine shed and the cold whisper of the November wind surrounded McVeigh and his gardener. They worked well together, side by side, McVeigh chatting, pliers and twine in hand, as if nothing at all was bothering him. But something was. After a couple of hours, they broke for lunch, and Al Dudley returned to his own smaller house across the county road. Inside the Winvian farmhouse, Florence was setting out lunch, a sandwich, on the dining room table. Vivian was off somewhere in another room, eating alone. Before sitting down, the captain went upstairs to his bedroom, ostensibly to change into something suitable for an afternoon of playing bridge at the Sanctum, a gentleman's club situated on the trim town green in Litchfield. He closed the door. Beyond the bedroom windows, the wind was stripping what leaves were left on the trees, and a freezing rain was worming its way under the eaves, looking for a way in. On the night table sat a holster, and in the holster was a Navy issue 38, a revolver, which the captain picked up. A knock came at the door. "Admiral, your lunch is ready." It was Florence. "I'll be down in a minute." For all the captain's customary good cheer, Florence had been worried about him. She knew he was having nightmares. He told her they were filled with circling sharks. When she reminded him several weeks earlier that the storm windows also needed installing, he had remarked, "Oh, that won't be necessary." "Why not?" "Because," the captain told her, "I won't be here." Now Florence returned downstairs, and soon the captain appeared in the doorway, a blank look on his face. He was still dressed in his khaki.
"Admiral," Florence said, "you have to go play cards today."
"Oh, yes," said McVeigh. "I know." When Florence asked if he'd like some lunch, he replied, "I'll eat it later." Florence eyed him, and then she returned to the kitchen. The captain pushed open the front door and stepped through a small wooden entryway erected in anticipation of the coming winter snow. He lay down on the stone walk with his head resting on the marble step, his gaunt face tilted up at a gray sky. Beside him, as he lay alone in the front yard, stood Chance, who watched, head cocked to one side, as the captain brought the cold barrel of the gun to his head. In McVeigh's left hand was a set of house keys, and on the key ring a metal toy sailor, a worn memento from happier times. He'd carried it with him around the world, across several oceans, and into battle. He'd been given the toy sailor as a gift when he was a boy. Whatever good fortune